This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Talk about the Ravens' offseason so far, which includes today the introduction of DeAndre Hopkins at 12:30 out of one winning drive from the Baltimore banner. Let's welcome back on the Window Nation guest hotline, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, what's up?
Morning, man. How's it going?
Going all right. Now, with DeAndre Hopkins, fancy name aside, in 2025, what do the Ravens, in a perfect world, need him to be?
I think probably like a little bit less active, but slightly more efficient version of the guy that he was in Kansas City last year. I think he can be a red zone weapon because of his size, not the Ravens lack for any proficiency inside the 20 last year. I think they need him to be a guy who finds the soft spot in the zones, and I think that's something that he's well suited to do. I think he can be a guy who, you know, if you're just kind of having one of those days in the receiving core and you're all your guys are having trouble getting open, or maybe pass rush is just getting in your face a little bit too much, you know, he's going to be a potential safety blanket for you. You know, Rashad Bateman and Zay Flowers, God bless them, know how to get open, but they are not great at contested catches. And that is something that DeAndre Hopkins, at least in his heyday during his prime, was more than the best of the NFL, just, you know, being a presentable target for whoever was throwing him the ball. So I don't think he's going to be, you know, more than a wide receiver 2.5, wide receiver 3. But I think just his leadership, everything he brings intangibly, being an upgrade over Nelson Agholor at the price point that the Ravens got him for, I think it's a really job, you know, great job by Eric Costa in the Ravens front office.
Jonas, what question are you asking today?
I'm kind of curious just how he is medically. You know, he was playing through the MCL sprain or the MCL tear last year, and he said that, you know, he wasn't sure if he was going to get surgery. He obviously put it off because he played the entire season. But I just want to know, like, how he felt that affected his performance last year, whether he feels like he could get closer to his 2023 form when he was a 1,000-yard receiver for Tennessee. Obviously, at this point, a guy his age, you're probably just hoping for the best with their health. And, you know, knees can be degenerative over time. But I am kind of curious just how he feels health-wise and maybe what the Ravens see, if they feel like they're buying low because of everything he went through medically last year.
Jonas, I'm seeing the Jake Hummel signing is kind of, you know, he'll be like a board, that type of guy, you know, an outstanding teamer, and then play linebacker if in necessity, because he would be active for the game. You know, his dad was a Perry Hummel. He went with me to Iowa State. He was a national champion wrestler.
Oh, how about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would hope that you're not hoping to rely on a guy who's played, 70 defensive snaps over his career, or 70 defensive snaps last year, whatever it was, to be a guy who maybe played as often as Chris Board and Malik Harrison did last year after the Trenton Simpson demotion. But I mean, you're right. I think they absolutely needed some special teams help. And I wrote about it earlier this week on the banner, just like last year was not a good special teams year for anyone besides maybe Jordan Stout. Like, he was good, not great. I mean, all of those units for the Ravens, if you look at the efficiency numbers, were like middle of the league to bottom of the league, and they needed some juice. And, you know, they are losing some guys either because of free agency, or maybe they're going from part-time roles to starting roles in defense that could take them away from special teams. So we saw just last year how critical some of those mistakes were, or the misses were, on operating special teams, and how they actually contributed to them losing. And, you know, if I'm John Harbaugh, I just want a special teams group that doesn't lose you games in 2025, which is not something you could say about the 2024 group.
Jonas, you know, kind of the way I look at the draft almost for the Ravens, for most of their picks, I mean, they need depth. They need depth in the O-line. They need depth in the D-line. They need depth at quarterback. You know, they need a lot of depth. How are they going to get that depth?
Probably not trading up.
No.
Probably keeping all 11 takes or looking to add more. I'm not sure if you saw, but there was a just because I think, you know, backup quarterback is probably going to be a very popular topic, if it's not already, with you guys. I saw a mock draft from one of the guys that I like on, you know, NFL Twitter, who had Jalen Milroe going to the Ravens in the second round. I was like, that seems a little bit out of step with what the Ravens need. But on the other hand, if we're going to be doing this whole dance every offseason with Josh Johnson and the terrible backup quarterback market, which is getting even more and more expensive every year, like, is there a world in which the Ravens maybe take a backup quarterback on day two? And I thought that was kind of an interesting thought experiment.
Now, Jonas, at 27, do you see a safety, or do you see like a guard tackle type guy?
I guess the answer is just yes. You know, if Malachi Starks is there, I'm running the pickup. But also, if, you know, like Donovan Jackson, the guy from Ohio State, I always get those guys confused with whoever's coming off the injury. You know, both those guys could be, you know, maulers inside, and then kicking out to the tackle if and when the Ronnie contract moves out. So I just think, well, you know, what they did in free agency just did clear the deck for them to take the best player available. I think, you know, I'm so impressed by when I scroll through the bottom of these prospect listings or these mock drafts, and just the amount of guys who could be available for them that, like, I think are really good players. And, you know, obviously some of these guys might be non-starters for the Ravens. Like, if Mike Green is there at 27, I don't know if with everything that's happened with Justin Tucker and the allegations that have been made against him, whether he would even be a draftable prospect. But it seems like they're going to get someone that you know, everyone agrees would be surplus value considering what the pick is.
I think we all agree that since Gardner Minshew signed with Kansas City, Ravens are losing to the Chiefs next year, Jonas Schaefer. From the Baltimore Banner, what's happening on the site today and through the weekend as the draft starts, what, April 24th? So that's right. Well, I don't want to say right around the corner, but we could see it coming in the not too far distance here.
Yeah, you know, obviously covering DeHop today, probably talking about just what they've done with all the void years, doing some depth chart analysis, and then, yeah, I mean, the draft is right around the corner. And guys, I think my favorite Gardner Minshew stat, forgive me if this is like something that's already well known, I think Gardner Minshew has more head-to-head wins against Lamar Jackson than Joe Burrow does.
Yeah, let that sink in. ladies and gentlemen. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jonas, appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend. Go Terps. And we'll talk to you next Friday.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jonas.
Jonas Schaefer, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, whip around in that Keith Kavanaugh. Speaking of the Terps, previews their matchup with Illinois. Terps tonight, 6:30-ish. Taking on the Fighting Illini, the winner gets to the semifinals. We'll keep you up to date on Oregon, Michigan State coming up at 12 o'clock. The Ducks are a live dog. Wah, wah.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game, everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the Whip Around here on this Featured Artist Friday. Dropkick Murphys, chosen by you, the people. Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com, joining us a few minutes here to preview Maryland, Illinois in the Big Ten tournament. You got Selected Sunday coming up for both the men and women. So we'll see where they go. Terps could certainly get themselves into a higher seed, projected as a strong four almost across the board. Maryland women, we'll see what happens with them after their early dismissal from the Big Ten tournament there. Speaking of that, yesterday, Oregon beat Indiana 72-59, pulling away late. Question is, where are the Hoosiers on the Buble? They were on the right side yesterday, and depending on how things go over the next couple of days, they could maybe stay there, but you never, never know. Texas, talking about that earlier, they keep upsetting teams, maybe getting themselves into the big dance. Also in the Big Ten, Wisconsin beat Northwestern. Sorry, Mike Harmon. 70-63, Purdue. They beat USC 76-71, and as we talked about, Illinois 106-94. Over Iowa, Maryland, and Illinois tonight at 6:30. Locally, Morgan State came from behind. They beat Howard. Cameron Hobbs had 33, including the game-winning shot, 91-90. So the Bears get to the MEAC semifinals, where tonight they take on top seed Norfolk State. That's why they play the games, everybody. We just talked about this. Mentioned it with Jonas Schaefer. Gardner Minshew signed with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And the Ravens do play at Kansas City. Well, I can see it now. Mahomes sprains his ankle or gets hit by a bus in the first half. And then Minshew comes in. And for the third straight year, because he beat him when he was with the Colts, beat him last. Both wins at Baltimore, by the way. And then beats him again. Whenever the schedule is coming out, I'm just putting L Kansas City.
Bob, is Carson Wentz done now?
Well, he's one of the available backup quarterbacks.
Kansas City said bye-bye.
Oh, well, he saw his last game.
Oh, yeah.
Where Cincinnati was like, please play well. Yeah. And they got housed by Denver. Man, this guy, well, it's been a minute now. We're talking 8 years. If he wouldn't have got hurt at the end of 17, and he got hurt scoring a touchdown for the Eagles against the Rams, he would have won an MVP of the league that year.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And then they went on to win the Super Bowl without him. He had a good year 2 years later, but he kind of tanked in the playoffs. And boy, Carson Wentz. But Gardner Minshew signing, Taylor Heineke signed yesterday. And the old Carson Wentz sitting out there. Hey, Trey Lance is looking for work. Former, what, third overall pick in the draft?
The North Dakota State quarterbacks, Bob, are not doing that well.
Leave them alone. Orioles lose yesterday to the Blue Jays 6-4. Cade Povich got lit up a little bit there. 8 hits, 5 runs, and 4+ innings. We'll talk about the Orioles take on the Twins tonight with Danielle Ellentuck. Lasted 2 weeks from opening day with the Baltimore Banner. NBA last night. The Wiz! Nobody saw this one coming.
Nope.
Win at Detroit. 129-125. Sarr had 19, second pick of the draft. Bob Carrington, Baltimore zone, 16-4-3 there. Kate Cunningham had a monster game, but Detroit, one of the hottest teams in the East, and they lose to the Wizards at home. That's an egregious loss if I'm a Pistons fan. Milwaukee beat the Lakers. I don't know if you watch the Yappin' Head shows on national TV. You would have thought that's the only thing that took place in the world of sports outside of Dallas Cowboys. 126-106. The Freak, 24-12-9. Alex Len actually started for the Lakers.
Sucked.
2-3-1.
Yeah.
Luka had 45 in the L, but they lose again. Chicago beat Brooklyn, 116-110. Kobe White, North Carolina Tar Heel, had 31-7-4. Kevin Herter got the start because Josh Giddey missed the game. 18 points, 9 boards, 3 assists. Jalen Smith, getting a little splinter action going on there as of late. DNP, coach's decision. NHL last night late. Caps at LA taking on the Kings, playoff-worthy team. And Darcy Kemper stoned them, hockey term.
Yeah, the thing about it, Bob, is the Kings have the best home record in hockey. And the Caps have the best road record in hockey. And I, truth be told, I mean, the game started at 10:30. I watched about 20 minutes of it. And the Kings were playing at a different speed than the Caps. Caps looked like they've been on the beach for a couple of days, whereas the Kings, they were flying around. They deserved to win that one. They were a better team last night.
Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Capitals taking on the Sharks. If they're in a get right game on definition, by definition, Sharks 18-40-3.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, I mean, it's like the traveling road show. You know, when Ovi shows up, everybody wants to come, you know, and they get a packed house. So it's always a difficult, I don't know about difficult, but they should beat the Sharks. If they show up and play hard and move their feet, they'll win.
It's 5880-1057, the Fan, Nolan McGraw. It's the Whip Around, Featured Artist Friday. Dropkick Murphys this day in Maryland basketball history. It is March. It's March 14th, as a matter of fact, 1986. First round of the NCAA tournament, West Region and Long Beach. Terps beat Pepperdine 69-64. Len Bias had 26 points, 8 rebounds. Derek Lewis, McDonald's All-American, 13-11. Speedy Jones had 12. Keith Gatlin had 10. Maryland advanced to the second round, played UNLV. And this is one of those games, Nolan, that I grew up with while I was 21 at the time. Maryland should have won the game. Could have won the game. Lost the game. To Armin Gilliam and all of those whack jobs out there. Tark against Lefty. What do you think the sidelines were like that day? One guy's kicking stuff. The other guy's chewing on towels. 1998. Sacramento. West Region second round. Maybe, Nolan, this is an omen for tonight's game. Maryland time in the ACC beat Illinois. 67-61, Sarunas Yesikavicius. If you're old enough, you know you lived that four-year roller coaster. He was on a high of that one. Roddy Elliott, Baltimore, 16. Sarunas had 20. Terrell Stokes had 10. Terps advanced to the Sweet 16 in Anaheim, where they would face the defending national champion Arizona Wildcats. They lost. And then this is a mind-boggling one to me. 21 years ago today. Down in Greensboro, ACC championship game, and John Kilgrist left memories that Maryland fans will never forget.
I mean, who would have thought this when they were down 19 and a half yesterday?
Nobody.
Against North Carolina State, let the celebration begin on a sea of red.
Gary Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, longtime combatants, and what a celebration for the Maryland Terrapins.
ESPN on the call, Mike Patrick and Dick Vitale, 95-87 in overtime. John Gilchrist, who was MVP of the tournament at 26. Jamar Smith had 25 points, 12 rebounds. Travis Garrison, friend of the show, he had 19. Maryland beat the third seed, Wake Forest, with Chris Paul, the two seed coming from 21 down, and then the one seed, Duke Blue Devils, to win the ACC championship. Third time in team history would be the only. That was it. Three. That's all they won. Gary finally got over the hump. So the Maryland Terrapins win the ACC title 21 years ago today. Terps would go to the NCAA tournament, of course, and we'll get into that as the dates are appropriate. This year's Maryland team tonight taking on Illinois, quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. Terps fighting Illini. It's a rematch. They're healthy. Maryland's hot. What happens? Keith Cavanaugh tells us next. Maryland 1.5-point favorites. Illinois, they've been playing a lot better than they were, say, 3 weeks ago. Maryland blew them out there, but they're at their full complement of players here to preview that. From TerrapinTimes.com, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's your friend and ours, Keith Cavanaugh. Keith, you drop-kicking anybody this weekend or what?
When are we shipping off to Boston, guys? Come on now.
Is that the Mummers? Is that the Mummers one or no?
No, that's your Band of the Day's best song. Dropkick Murphy shipping off to Boston, right? Unless I'm going senile.
You might as well speak a foreign language to me. Yeah. I've heard of them. I don't know any of the songs. I know Boston. More than appealing. Don't look back.
You just said you're Irish Catholic? Come on now. Do you still have ashes on your forehead from last Wednesday?
I don't do that. Nah. I need to go to confession before I get into any of that posing. But anyway, Keith, we just talked, before we get to Illinois, Maryland tonight.
Yeah.
21 years ago today, Terps beat Duke in overtime. The great picture of the kid crying next to his dad wearing a Duke jersey was great. J.J. Redick was whining. I mean, that was always a fun part of beating them in and of itself. But John Gilchrist, that weekend, through Wake, through NC State, and then obviously in the championship game into overtime, he was a big-time recruit, as you know, because you and I were talking about him when he was coming out of high school. Second-rated point guard behind Deron Williams, if I'm not mistaken, in that year's class. What about Johnny G that weekend? And, you know, then things kind of came a cropper for him the next year with Gary Land there.
Wow, I'm so old. I remember going down to the Boo Williams AAU tournament in Norfolk and covering John when he was a freshman. Where was he, at Salem High School?
Yep.
He was a mercurial cat, you know. He was a different personality, but when he wanted to turn it on, he would just turn it out. And, you know, you still see him around College Park. He's at games here and there. Great guy, always had a very great smile on his face. But he threw some daggers out there. I remember back then, what was it, Drew Nicholas, when he had that game against Wake or NC State as well with the three balls.
Yeah.
But that takes me down amnesia lane. And leading into that, hey, major props to our boy Dwayne Simpkins. Second year, he wins the Patriot Conference this past week over Navy. He's dancing in just year two at AU. So props to Dwayne there. And coming off the ticker right now, former St. Francis, former Terp Jonathan Lamothe is already back in the portal again after 1 year at NCA&T. Of course, the portal opens officially on the 24th and all the pandemonium starts. But yes, I enjoyed your monologue there going back. Jamar Smith, I heard that reference.
Yeah.
What a leaper and electric athlete that guy was. Ryan Randall, I think he was kind of undervalued, and he really produced at a time Maryland didn't have any true bigs. Those guys were fours playing fives, but yeah. We wildly digress.
Yeah, they were underachievers too until they made that run. They actually were on the bubble, if memory serves, Keith, going into it. Now, real quick, John Gilchrist told me at the Capitol Classic that he was going to take Steve Blake's starting job. I'm going to take his job. Like, you know, they just won the national championship, right?
Well, Bob, how about the video captured of them fighting?
Fist fighting at practice.
At Coalfield House at practice. So.
I think Steve Blake's fist fighting on Clarkview Road, if you got his face. He was ready to rumble. All right, tonight, Illinois rematch. Yeah. Maryland blows him out. Pound the ball inside. Both Reese and Queen, monster games. And Vizicic will be back. Not that he's an intimidating rim protector, but he wasn't there the first game. He had a double-double last night for the Fighting Illini. What does his presence mean, possibly, to Kevin Willard, maybe changing his game plan? Because he told us on the show, I was going to pound it inside anyway, even if he was there.
Well, guys, this is not your Illinois, your father's Illinois from 2 months ago when Maryland won 91-70. That flu-addled team then, I think Underwood had the flu that game too, because he just sat on the bench brooding the whole night. But they're healthy now. They've got 1 through 5. They've got stretch athletes who can score the ball anywhere on the floor. Their ball movement, their cutting, their passing, their rebounding. It is a totally different team. Unfortunately, they're the hottest team in the league right now. So last night, 200 points between the two teams. That was a track meet. Old Franny McCaffrey, just silly sauce, getting tossed when it was, what, a 6 or 7 point game. And then things kind of went off the cliff for them. But Illinois is very dangerous now. And Will Riley, man, he's going to be a matchup trouble. So Maryland's got to, you know, of course, stay out of foul trouble. You know, the bench is coming on a little bit more. But astonishingly, in that first matchup, Underwood never doubled our bigs, who just went off. So this is going to be a completely different team. And think about the schedule Illinois played this year. You know, beyond Big Ten, but Duke, Arkansas, Tennessee. So their strength of schedule is, what, 9th? So a very dangerous team tonight for the Terps. They're going to have to bring the A game.
18 turnovers for Maryland last game. Aberration or something maybe to keep an eye on tonight.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, they get a little too loosey-goosey. I'd like the team right now, as we pivot to the second season, run more set plays, play inside out more. Transition D's got to get better. The bench continues to need to get better. Geronimo and Young were nice in the last game. Geronimo the last two games. But this team is lethal, their first 5. And props to all Big Ten honorees for the Terps. I still think Juju should have made third team, and I still think Rice should have made honorable mention. But major props, Derrick Queen, first team and freshman of the year. So they got some great honors. I'm not sure about Braden Smith as player of the year. I probably would have gone with Tanjay. He was amazing yesterday, or Kaufman Wren. And had the Terps not lost on that miracle three-quarter court shot against Sparty, maybe Willard would have edged out Izzo for coach of the year. But great. They're number 2 seed, double bye. Going for win number 25. What a season it's been for Maryland this year.
Hey, Keith, if I'm watching in halftime, it's 50-something, who's that favor?
Probably Illinois, the way, you know, they've got more depth and they've got matchup problems galore across the floor now that they've got all these guys back healthy, and they got 7 footers who can pick and pop and knock down 3 balls consecutively, like Ivicic last night. But I mean, Riley was really the breakout guy last night, and Johnson's back from injury, Montez Johnson. So just can't get in foul trouble or tweak an ankle.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Real quick, anything else we need to know about what's happening on your website outside of the men here and men's basketball?
Yeah, I mean, the portal opens on 3/24, goes to 4/22. Right around that time is when Maryland gets this new infusion, the profit sharing of $21.5 million. Lion's share going to football, and then men's and women's basketball and the others. So it's going to be huge to go get 2 bigs. Chance Mallory does decide, the point guard, on 3/22. I don't think he's coming here. But you're going to have to get at least 2 portal bigs, and I've got to keep all the current core guys. They're all going to be demanding a higher wage. There's no doubt about it. Rodney Rice, you know, I think he wants to be more of a point guard. One of those 2 guards, you just don't know. Juju's still deciding what he's going to do with his extra year. Queen, we know, will be gone. If he finishes really, really strong and they go deep, he'll be a lottery pick. If not, he'll probably be top 16 at worst. So they got to really retool in the front court, and hopefully not too much in the back court.
Keith Cavanaugh, go back to Boston with your Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah, and we'll Bob, talk to go to your Google machine. Look up their greatest hit of ever.
All right, no, I will during the break, which is coming up next. All right, Keith, talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Thanks, Keith.
Here's Keith Kavanaugh. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Peg. Come back, reset. We'll talk to Nolan McGraw for a couple of minutes. And then we got news from the Nets coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell, where's our weekend money? Hopefully counting that at 12:15. And Richard Skinner from WKRC in Cincinnati. Talk about the Bengals offseason, which right now seems more drama-filled than productive. You regretting that t-shirt now, or are you wishing that you actually would have been into the band?
I'm telling you, that t-shirt was awesome. It's like a skeleton playing the bagpipes.
Oh.
It's green and white. Looked awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to have to Google
that, too. It's a
classic
band shirt.
Top of the hour. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Coming up at 12:30, DeAndre Hopkins introduced to the media, and hopefully we'll have some of that for you coming up around NFL lunchtime. But Nolan, what do you think about tonight's game before we get to the funhouse? Terps now, it's still 1.5. Laying strong. Full disclosure, I just went to ESPN Bet and dropped a couple of duckies on the old Oregon Ducks.
Well,
getting 5.5.
Go ahead and bet Michigan State then.
That's right.
Fade it. No, I'm excited for tonight, obviously. Got a little 5-day layoff here, but Terps earned that rest. Very well deserved. Finishing as a 2 seed. Hell of a season. Great finish to the regular season. And look, over the years, I've said this many times, a lot of Maryland teams didn't exactly finish the regular season strong. And even if they were, you know, preseason darlings or, you know, early January, a great team, sometimes they'd limp their way into the tournament and you kind of knew the writing was on the wall. Even if they'd get a nice seed, 4-5 range, you think just the team's not playing their best ball. But this year's different. They really feel like they're getting hot at the right time. And I feel like tonight could be a big, big momentum game for them.
After not winning on the road for 2 years, basically, they were 5-1 away from the Xfinity Center down the stretch. And you talk about limping home. Remember the 19 team that lost to LSU on that last-second basket? They lost in the first round of the Big Ten tournament to Nebraska that year.
And that really impacted
and
their
barely
their
got
seeding.
By Belmont in the first round,
yeah.
too.
I mean, if they had a decent showing, I mean, forget winning the Big Ten tournament. They haven't even come close to that. But win a couple games that year, at least one, what that would have done for their seeding in the NCAA tournament? Because that was, I mean, you want to talk about a talented big man duo. Terps have a great one this year, but that year with Bruno and Sticks, that was awesome.
Two NBA players. Now, one rides the bench, one's out of the league, but played professionally nonetheless. What else is on your mind, Nolan? Are you ready to get to the funhouse here?
No, let's let the people talk.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, first one here on the Orioles. Texter says, this Santander stuff, it's getting a little tired at this point. How many times do we have to read headlines about him not getting the same offer from the O's? It's clear that Elias didn't want to go as lengthy as 5 years, was willing to do 3. Toronto went the distance. It's not the end of the world.
And Santander did not get into the financial ramifications or the particulars, I should say, of what the Orioles actually offered him, but he... No way, not at it. He Matumbo'd whatever they were throwing his way. And look, I like him, going to miss him, but if O'Neill stays healthy, how much do you miss him?
And to that texter's point there, I mean, it's not like Santander followed up those comments and said, all right, well, you better watch out when we go head-to-head this year. I got a, you know, an axe to grind. He said, I understand it. It's a business.
Did you see he took the selfie with all the media people, including Danielle Allentuck, who we'll talk to at 1:30? It was Danielle, it was Rock, JCM, Rich Dubroff, and I believe it was Matt Weirich.
It's nice. A beloved figure.
They did a selfie.
I don't think anyone had a bad thing to say about Santander.
Yeah, somebody tried to photobomb. I couldn't get who. Jerry Coleman, I believe.
Let's see. How about the Terps here? This texter, Eric in Bel Air. Maybe not as optimistic, but says the Terps not winning the NCAA tournament, there's zero chance. So for me, I'd rather see them win the Big Ten tournament, still call it a great season. Anything after this weekend, icing on the cake.
Hey, if they lose tonight, but make it to the Sweet 16, we're cool with that. I mean, you win the Big Ten tournament, lose in the second round, then it becomes a colossal disappointment of a season. Yeah, getting through Illinois is going to be tough, and then the next couple of rounds on top of it. I'm more concerned with how deep they're dancing once they get to destination unknown. Because they haven't been to a Sweet 16 in 9 years. Let's do it.
All right, one on the Ravens here. We'll close with this. Texter says, I think the Ravens upgrading their wide receiver three means that they're definitely looking to trade Mark Andrews. Right now, there's too many mouths to feed with Hopkins coming into the current roster. They get cheaper with him as well, can pick up the draft pick in the trade, add more depth elsewhere.
The funny thing is all right, who did they just sign of their own players? They signed Stanley and Ricard. Why? Offensive players, they wanted their core guys back. Mark Andrews is what? One of the core guys. Let me just say this. Mark Andrews is going nowhere.
Yeah, 29 years old now. Next season.
A different story.
Yeah, things are going to get crazy because likely in Andrews himself, they're all hitting free agency. Yeah. So, yeah. But I'm with you. We've talked about it before, Vinny. I think it's like, run it back.
No doubt. No doubt.
But anything less than a, we talk about Terps Sweet 16, Orioles winning a series in the postseason. Ravens, it's Super Bowl or bust.
We said the same thing last year.
And a year before that.
Yes.
But now it's window's still open because you have a franchise quarterback. But Ravens even getting to the AFC Championship game is not going to be acceptable enough in the eyes of a lot of people, myself included.
Well, the thing that's going to hurt them coming down the road here, Bob, is Linderbaum and Kyle Hamilton and Travis Jones. You know, they're going to have to, and Lamar, you know, they're going to have to step up and pay a lot of these guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, more football talk, Ravens talk, that is coming your way. News from the Nest, buy or sell. We'll count that weekend money at 12:15. And hey, the Ravens have problems, but not as many as the Bengals. And we'll get caught up with that. Richard Skinner from WKRC in Cincinnati. And then another draft profile coming your way at 12:45. Xavier Watts, University of Notre Dame. And unlike our guy Castro, Xavier Watts could in fact be maybe not a first-round pick, but definitely day two.